Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We ask that you would increase our knowledge and affection for you through this. Increase our knowledge and affection for one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Well, we are starting a new series that will hopefully be time to finish around the time we kind of do other things for the summer. And decided that do a series on the church. And I know it's kind of odd that we're in church, so why are we studying about the church? But I think that it's useful because even if we're convinced that being in church is the right thing to do, the scriptures demand it, it's good to be reminded of why that is, as well as learn some new things. And also, just to kind of deal with maybe increased apathy or really distrust of the church itself. So, just curiosity, what are some of the things you guys have heard about the church? I mean, or maybe that you think about or that you thought about? It's really done, whatever. It's a broad question, so it should be easy to answer. No, in church in general, local church in general, I mean, it can be about local Christ.
Like, what we heard.
Awesome.
But it can be from people who aren't in church.
Yeah, whatever, in general, in society, or whatever.
Well, pretentious.
Yeah.
With that.
Optional.
So is it easy?
Well, we're going to be discussing all those different kinds of things. And I guess statistically, at least in the, I don't know if it's still true, but the churches in America and Europe in the 20th century were losing approximately 7,600 participants every week. So it's like, one guy said that the church doors aren't, the doors in the church aren't big enough to fit all the people that are leaving. what this author notes, and I think is pretty interesting, is that the disappointment about the church is often not as much about those outside that is expressed by those who are inside who are leaving the church. In other words, because the church used to have, like, a massive amount of people, and now it's lost a lot of numbers. Now it's still gaining, obviously, but it's just an interesting. There, a lot of people have become sort of disillusioned with the local church, and there's basically two kinds of extremes for those who still want the church to count for something. The first one is to listen to those voices of discouragement and to basically ask a person everything that they don't like about a church, and then be exactly the opposite of everything that people are telling you they don't like about the church. Does that make sense? So, I don't like this, and so you create a catalog of all the things that people don't like about the church, and then you make sure you're not that. Any thoughts on that idea, on that concept?
So that's a big thing, the church then on man's obedience rather than on God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard to please everybody, but some of them pretty healthy church growth by doing that. The interesting thing is that Schuller, for instance, you guys know the name Robert Schuller if I say that. So when he founded his church, he was like around the 60s or something like that. He asked everybody what best they liked about the church, and then built a church around like that kind of model. Whereas 20 years later, when I think it was Heifels or others created their church, it was more like the opposite model. Like, build your church on the things that don't do the things that people don't like you to do in the church. Behind, create that thing. And so, one of the things I've planned on trying to do on this is not to, I don't want this this thing to be a whole series on what's wrong out there as much as what we want to be positively. But it's impossible to sometimes interact with what you want to do without also rejecting what you don't want to do. So I don't want to shy away from that. I just don't want us to for myself, to just be really negative about what other people are doing, because it's really easy to... I really liked one time listening to Martin Lloyd-Jones said that you could have a really successful ministry with almost just talking about what's wrong with everything outside. And instead of just positively presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ and being about the work of ministry. And so our church is not about defining ourselves by what we're not as much as who we are. But in the process of defining who we are, sometimes we have to actually definitively say, we reject certain things. The other extreme to disappointment is just to ignore all complaints and chalk it up to people. Yeah, that's just the way it is going to be, and so you just put your head down and listen to me. And so we want to avoid the extreme of just listening to everything and changing everything, or listening to nothing. And so we have to do some listening to what's going on. And what I thought I'd do is, I like these vignettes that are in here. And what I want to read is these vignettes and then have us interact with them. And I want us to think about how we interact with them, because I think that these stories are going to be people that you're going to encounter in real life. Or maybe you're the person who's thinking these things, and then we can talk about them and think through them. So, I stopped attending church during my college years because that's when I started understanding what the church really is about. I mean, look for yourself. Look in the book of Acts, for starters. Where are the new member classes? Where are the services that start exactly at 11 a.m. and must be over exactly at noon? Where are the 30-something Sunday school classes? And here's the real question. Where are the denominations? The answer is simple. They're not there. Some people misunderstand me when I say this, so I want to be clear. I do believe in the church with a capital C. People tend to think of the church as a building with its people, where they meet for worship. That's not it at all! Exclamation point. The church is a worldwide group of people who are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. They aren't connected by denominational ties, or economic status, or worship styles. They are a group that is connected by a living faith in Christ and by a desire to love other people, whether or not those people look like them. This church has been around for 2,000 years and always will be around. I was in college that I began to make the mental shift from the institutional church to a more biblical understanding of the church. Ironically, this was spurred on by my trips home, during which I would find myself at the table listening to my parents talk about our church, squabbles over buildings, nursery duty, bringing which casserole to which event. Is that what the church is supposed to look like? Okay. Matthew, what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I want to.
No, I mean, I'm not...
Perhaps you should read without tone.
I'm trying, but I mean, it's not... I think that I expressed the tone of the thing. Well, I mean, I wasn't trying to mock it. I was just trying to be emphatic about those sorts of things. I just want to get your thoughts on it. Because let's say your friend said that. You guys are going to church, so obviously you think that going to church is important. So how do you respond to somebody who's like that?
Well, I mean, the first mention is that she made was the church in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then next she's taking it on a campus, which is a whole of the New Testament and the church. I mean, there were churches, and as we call churches, a group of scattered believers out worshiping on their own.
Right.
They were a corporate group that had come together, and they had the choosing problem.
Sure.
But they were believers, and Paul was writing to them. So yes, there were churches in the New Testament, and yes, they did have sin issues that they were dealing with, just like we do today. It's no different.
Thank you. No, that's That's true. It's like, I want to live my life like the early church. Oh, so you want to, anyway, I'll stop it. The problem and ask where the man was with his mother-in-law or whatever.
It seems like that thing, that person, the culture, social influence person, got some time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out where the line is and find what we create on our own is stuck versus what the church is concerned with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that the church clearly is in a society of progression, and it doesn't always have that
problem. Right.
It is. It doesn't have to be the church. It's a group of sinners together to communities and religions. So, I mean, it seems like that's always been a key here. And your perspective and the lens that you're looking at is through the teaching of Christ are key to how well the particular body of believers in the church.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and
nobody ever follows that statement.
Which one's that?
That whole argument. Nobody follows that to its logical conclusion.
Which one?
I mean, if the whole of Christendom is the entire church, I have yet to see someone who submits to every pastor they've ever met.
Right.
I mean, that's the argument. I mean, because if we're going to use the New Testament, then the New Testament clearly states that there are elders and deacons, there are overseers, there are bishops. And so you submit to every single overseer in the world.
Right.
Because usually what they mean is they submit to nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that I like what one person said. I think I can't remember what it was, something I was listening to or something I read. But it's really easy to love people in general, like to love the world and try and get out there and be of service to things, but it's sometimes really hard to love those that are really close. Like, in other words, it's more challenging as those of us who are parents sometimes to really spend the time and energy to love our families properly. And then, on top of that, just to kind of love the people that are directly among us.
That's a really particularly to step forward, and that's why, you know, first of all, it could be obvious, you know, marriage is the hardest place to offer. That's where you are exposed. You know,
right.
As sinners, you don't have to be exposed. You need to, you know, to have those, like you're saying, these broad relationships with people where you're seeing the nature of the
church. Right. In other words, it's easy for me to love the universal church as a concept. You see what I'm saying, with a capital C, to say, I just love the church in general because I don't have anybody in particular that's annoying me. So, the other thing I think that Steve pointed out is that the fact of the matter is, it would be really easy to, it wasn't easy in the early church, as Steve pointed out. And whenever we start talking about Christ, we have to start talking about who he is. And at a certain point, you know, there are times in which we can agree, and then there's times where we just can't worship with the same people who call themselves Christians. I mean, is Christ the Son of God? Well, some people say yes, and some people say no. Or they say, well, what do you mean by the people who are the Son of God? We're all sons of God. We're all created. Christ is created. You know, these are all things that at the end of the day, you have to define what you are. And this is unfortunately, because of sin, not because we seek out division. Now, I think we need to be willing to look at the sin in our hearts that causes that division. But at a certain point, we have to affiliate somehow. We have to decide what the scriptures teach and worship with somebody in particular. Okay, so let's move on to the next one, because there's a few more here, and so these are great things. This is exactly what I wanted you guys to do this. Is interact with these. Okay, here's the next one.
Is this a woman?
Wash my tongue?
Make sure you got the right
thing. Okay, I got it. Here we go.
She's an English woman.
Okay, here we go. My church? My church?
Church?
Hold on. Here we go. How's this? My church?
It's the outdoors.
Sorry. My church? It's the outdoors. I've always loved nature. But it wasn't until college that I actually understood from a biblical point of view why this was appropriate. When I reached the campus, I ended up becoming involved in a ministry that really prioritize biblical teaching. Something I heard there that I had never thought about before is that God rules over everything that He has made, and therefore everything that we do is to be part of worshiping Him. So often, Christians live their lives divided into two big compartments, sacred and secular. But this isn't what Scripture tells us. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. It suddenly hit me how relevant this was to my perception of God's presence when I was outdoors. Now I know why I've never felt closest to God in church. I don't have to be in a sanctuary on a Sunday morning to worship God. All of my life is to be worshiped to Him. I can worship God just as much when I'm mountain biking with friends as when I'm sitting in a pew singing a hymn. One of my favorite passages is the beginning of the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. There are times when I'm outside, lying on my back, looking up at the stars, and it does something for me that no church service has ever been able to do. When I get away on the weekends, I still try to make Sunday mornings a special block of time by having a sort of one-man worship service. I usually read a passage of Scripture, sometimes aloud, and pray and sing to God. I can honestly say that when I get back from trips like that, I feel refreshed down to my bones. I have no gripe with people who choose to be in church on Sundays. I just hope they go home feeling like I do.
Okay.
I don't know. It's interesting how many people went off to college and figured out that everybody was really stupid in these things.
But so the book really is the talks a lot about, you know, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, how the flesh is deceitful and will, you know, it will give you justification, you know, to why you something in the spirit is why I'm leading to. That's what I think I hear. I hear a lot of, you know, justifications from the flesh to say, hey, look how I'm doing this and that's what you can do. It's okay. This way works.
Yeah, but this guy was pretty scripted. Right, and so, well, how do you respond? I mean, he said in Psalm 19, heavens declare the glory of God. Right. Yeah, well, that's good.
No, it's good. And because Psalm 19 is short, where it ends, all of God's precepts, God's law, God's commandments, God's word, the delight in it is honey. It's sweeter than honeycomb. It's better than gold. And he's, again, he's not being honest with himself. I mean, to grab, do all the, you know, whether I eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God, and claim that means that everything I do is worship.
Right.
So feeding your kids worship is skipping your, you know, sleeping in and not going to work, is that worship?
Right.
He says, I can worship God mountain biking. Yes.
And right.
When you're mountain biking, when you're supposed to be mountain biking, you worship God.
Mm-hmm.
You're mountain biking instead of going to work, you're sitting.
Who's your brother? No, you're right. I mean, these are. Sorry, Layden, did you say something?
Kind of
can't
do
this,
but the God is everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. Right.
Yeah.
I think in this case, I don't know that he was trying to be pantheistic as much as the idea. The thing about some of these things that you have to be subtle with is that there's a bit of truth mixed in with the fact that it's just one side. It's kind of like taking one aspect of the Word of God and blowing it up so that it covers everything else. So it is true that we sometimes create artificial divisions between the sacred and secular and pretend like, well, it doesn't matter. Well, I just figured out when I went off to college that I compartmentalized my life. Like, God only is important during this time of time, and then the other time I live my life as if I'm like a some people do that. But the point is that there is a place, and this is why sometimes it's hard for us to even remember, is that there is something to be said when God gathers His people. It's like, well, what do you mean that the Lord is present in this tabernacle? He's everywhere. And then we start to think about, you know, the fact that there is something special. There is something about the gathering of God's people. And so we want to be thinking about those positive things that we want to say about the scriptures. And we don't have to have all the answers now, but these are just things because, you know, we will run into these, and sometimes how you respond in terms of, you know, from us it's pretty easy to say, well, he's X, and it takes some work to get them to see God. And if you know them, it's okay to rebuke them and say you're sinning, but maybe you've got to take a little bit more circuitous route.
That's
I'm
not
sorry.
Okay. When a slave kind of answers this question, you know, and here, our response to that would be a little more
just pointing to
the people who are slaves. Yeah, exactly. You know, if we can try and ask questions and see where they're coming from, you know, and then
right, I mean, because one person, I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones that said, you know, there's more people on the beach on any given Sunday than there are in the church. And he said it simply because they value being at the beach more than they value being in church. And it's hard to just go up to them and say, no, the church and being in worship is so much more valuable than being out there doing that. But it doesn't, that's not true for them. We can't just say that that's the case. We have to somehow, it has to be the case that they sort of come to that conclusion. And I think for us as well, we need to kind of remind ourselves regularly how valuable it is, what we're doing, and that be praying for the Spirit of God to be just livening us, to be reminding of that. Because we go through the motions, and there's a part of me that can be at church regularly, even though I'm just, I really want to be at church today. You know? I'm sure the rest of you are the same way. A lot of you are very disciplined people, and you're going to go to church whether or not you want to or not. And we're trying to convince other people of that regard. Let's move on. Let's go to the next story. To be honest, I would say that as things stand now, my campus ministry is my church. My first year, I suppose, I did the typical freshman thing for someone from a church background. I hit campus and began enjoying my newfound freedom, and part of that freedom involved sleeping in regularly on Sunday mornings. I can't help but feel a little bit justified, though. You have no idea how often my parents dragged all of us to church. If the doors were open for a church activity, we were there. After a while, however, I began to miss the, I don't know what to call it, the rhythm of a weekly meeting with other Christians. And honestly, my churchless schedule left me feeling guilty, too. So one Sunday morning, I finally dragged myself out of bed and started visiting some local churches. The problem was that, and I hate to say this, attending those churches gave me the opportunity to see what I had been missing. It wasn't very pretty. Each church I attended, and I visited a cross-section of denominations, was basically the same. Everyone was geared toward the folks who were already involved. The sermons didn't connect with me or my life in school, and no one invited me or my friends to eat lunch or paid us much attention. If I were in their shoes, I hope I would try a little harder. Then a friend invited me to a campus Christian fellowship, and after a few visits, I was hooked. Now my week doesn't feel right if I miss it. Every week, the speaker seems to know exactly what I need to hear. For the first time, I'm excited to hear about God's Word, and the staff and students who attend seem really interested in reaching out to others. My campus ministry is my congregation. I'm sure at some point I'll reconnect with the local church, but I feel that God understands where I am right now.
I think you can recommend to that person that you've got to be somebody in the campus ministry connected to the local church. So,
right.
Talk to someone else and find out where they are.
We had a statement of how once the church is established for 9 or so, It's a social organization under God.
Yeah.
I think it seems like the struggle with a lot of the business here. There's no place for me to help.
Yeah, nobody to talk to him.
Yeah. Like, we tend to do that.
Right. And you know what's funny is when I was thinking of this, this sounds kind of strange, so I'm not saying this because I'm a martyr or anything. But we were traveling this past summer. We were on our way back from Texas, on our way to General Sandy. And we were making, you know, we were going to be in, where we were, not South Carolina, but we stopped in Atlanta because it was on the way that day. And we went to a church. I was dressed like in shorts and stuff like that. We were in a pretty nice piece of the church there. And right before the thing, we start praying for everybody. You know, of course, we walked in a little bit late. The church service started, and we said we back. And kind of dressed, everybody was dressed really nice there. And it felt a little awkward not being dressed up. And then they prayed for General Assembly and all the elders attending. I was like, this is cool, they're praying for me. But literally afterwards, nobody really talked to us at all. And I know this sounds stupid, but it's like, I almost want to say, hey, by the way, I'm one of those elders you were just praying for. I'm on my way to this thing, and you guys probably, maybe they were just shy or anything, but it did leave the impression like, maybe I don't want to infer something, but I was thinking of that. And I think one of the things, I have to say that one of the things that I love about this congregation is how welcoming you are to people. And I want us to keep that thing, that even if we get really big someday, it's good to see that people don't feel like they're not being talked to. But we can run into the problem of sometimes being, this is a genuine problem, where people don't reach out to people. Or I've been in churches where you feel like this church is so well established, I don't even know where I could plug in. It's just running like such a smooth machine. Now, again, we don't have that problem where people think, boy, this church is running so well, I just don't know where to help out, you know. It seems like there's too many people doing these things. And so, you know, the blessing of being small is it's easy for us to say, oh, it's good churches with their problems, but these are things that we have to be mindful of. And I also think one of the things we also need to be mindful of is that it's really easy sometimes to feel like I'm growing when I'm among everybody that's like me, right? Campus ministries are nice because in those environments you're dealing with pretty much a lot of people your age. It's a lot different than when you're dealing with multiple generations. Now, we don't have a huge number of generations here, but we have kids that are in the nine times, including my own, you know, we have them. The whole point of the church is to be multi-generational. I'm looking forward to the day when we have, like, grandparents and other kinds of things, older people, and we have to mourn. I'm not looking forward to people coming, but I want to be a church that's dealing with all of those emotions. Seriously, I don't want to just be, you know, around a 10, 15-year demographic window of the small kids. I mean, the church is dealing with all those things.
That's the thing that I heard when you asked me that day, that you heard he was guilty about
right.
The same church.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he visited and we did see what he wanted, that he hoped he would use try hard.
Right.
And where I think this person's in a good place where he's in campus ministry and I hope that in that campus ministry he's being discipled and that he's focused on himself and his work and his skills. He's evolving there. Gospel and that, what he can do to become very work and he's supposed to be that, that he's trying to do what he needs to be a good Christian.
Right.
You know, rather than doing these things that's supposed by God. And so, I think this person's on the path get there and just leave that that I was trying to change from the beginning.
Okay, last story. Actually, we attend several churches in town. Don't get me wrong, I don't mean that we attend all of them each Sunday or each week. What I mean is that after visiting around, my husband and I found different needs being met at different churches. The one that we primarily attend has an absolutely fantastic music ministry. Okay, the music minister seems to share our tastes. Honestly, Sunday morning worship now feels like a little slice of heaven for us. On the other hand, our children desperately need a vibrant youth ministry. The church where we worship on Sunday mornings has a youth program. Fortunately, another church close to our home has the youth group in town. A lot of our children's friends attend as well. It's exciting to see them part of it. Another area church has great midweek Bible studies that are arranged according to age group. So while our children are at Wednesday night youth group, we attend a home Bible study that gives the solid biblical teaching we know we need. It would be wonderful to get all this at one church, but right now, this seems the best way to meet our different needs. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they're finding, like, for example, the children's ministry lacking, then instead of finding a different church to meet that need, they should be trying to fix it or bring it up. Because if they're feeling that way, there might be other families feeling the same thing.
Right. Dennis, did you say something?
I was busy. It's incredible to see what's involved with the act. It's interesting that these are primarily college students. They've been studying kids that were raised in the church. And what they found is that most kids that are raised in the church above the college kind of end up with more of a moralistic, theistic view of God than an actual Christian faith. That kids who have a little bit of godliness and a little bit of Jesus, and what they're really looking for is kind of spiritualism and detail, and it kind of helps them get along if they're not really interested in a life devoted to Christ. And you shouldn't be, you know, they're just, and what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in them to feel that they're more interested in taking whatever flavor they're looking for.
Well, I think he's also focused on the activities. And they take the evening from here to there, they don't have to be vulnerable, they don't have to be accountable to anybody, they can live on their own terms.
Right.
And so it kind of just keeps them in a place where they're going to be, and they don't know how to do it. That turns out people are not just for service, but also for their own good.
Yeah. I mean, these are all great things, and I think the challenge, I think we all, in this area, we all face that issue in terms of the problem that we have now, the busyness of this area. I mean, honestly, it is sort of hard sometimes starting out of church because the expectations of the church is not all these things. But it's not hard for me. I'm not against any of all these things. In fact, it would be hypocritical of me to say, hey, I disagree with these sorts of things because we take our kids to a local music program and daughters are involved in some other things that we like to take on. I can argue it's part of that church. I think the challenge is that we just want to keep seeing people committing to the local church. Because we can, even if the church isn't putting on all these things, we could fall into the same trap just in a lot of activities and being involved in ourselves. But consume our time, maybe the church is responsible, maybe it could be back on the road, whatever it is. And so, I just want to close with one thing here, Ephesians 5:2, speaking of the church and us. You walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ would not have had to die for the church. He wouldn't have to be in the process of purifying the church if he didn't have problems. The irony of the way people think of the church is that that's the whole reason why Christ has died for us. It's because of sinners. And so we don't want to use that if he hasn't excused. It was the dinosaur that showed dinosaurs. It was like the baby puppet dinosaur.
But anyway, it's like, no matter what you do, it's like, I love you. You know, and it's like,
we do stupid things that cause people to leave, but at the same time, we need to be reminded of, or we do stupid things that cause people to not want to hear things pretty regularly. But we need to be reminded that the fact that we're not perfect, and that we need Christ, that the gospel that we're called to, that the law that still convicts us of our sin, that if we're not, we ought to be guilty of the charge of hypocrisy. Because what we're called to proclaim is bigger than what we can do. And we have to admit that to others. Yes, I know it sounds like, because I say, we're supposed to be living lives pleasing to God, and what this looks like, living pleasing to God is way beyond what I can achieve. Yes, probably true that the book of Acts has some pretty amazing things that we're not doing right now in terms of the love that they have for heaven. You see plenty of messes in there, and we strive for these things. We don't achieve them perfectly, but we're in it together, and so I want us to continue to think about these things as we move forward, and because I really do want us to think about how do we make the church attractive to the people today. It's not naturally attractive to give up your Sundays to come to worship. It just isn't. There's too many things out there that, quite honestly, if I didn't find this to be important, I would probably enjoy myself more sleeping in. I was just thinking about that today. I woke up and I was like, I don't know if we go back to the part where we can start praying later on in the day. Because getting up at 5 every Sunday is really
You know, but then I remind myself, no, this is really, really important. It's spiritually good that I'm doing. It's not because God's sitting there patting me on the back, but it's such, you know, is Sunday something that we look forward to? Sunday something that we can be encouraged by? And how do we get people that are going to come with that consumer mindset to work with them while they still have it, not so people can see it, but to start working with them to get to see, you know, this is good, how good and pleasant it is when you're getting better. And so let's make that our prayer as we go forward, because we can the kind of church where we understand why we're worshiping together and that it's good for God and for God. But I'm glad to see you guys here today to worship with you, to approach from the place together and to, you know, come together in the Lord's presence and say thank you for having us together. And there's a system that we're working with the family and the folks. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to discuss your church. We are that church. We are those you have gathered from many walks, many ways. And each of us has a story of how you have converted us from darkness into light. So we thank you for that. We ask that this would be the time where we more deliberately understand what you have done in the bringing of your church together, that we might continually be upbuilt and protected by one another, and that we would also be welcome and inviting to others who need to hear this gospel, who need to have our encouragement and encouragement. And so, Father, grow us in grace and bring others into our midst that we may grow with them. In Jesus' name we pray.